Good morning. And Merry Christmas. I checked with Alexa this morning. Santa Claus is over Wangpu, China, with a sleigh with 60,000 tons of toys on it. So that was pretty cool. A lot of little known facts that Alexa has been filling me in on Santa Claus. So that guy that's popping up between the poinsettias, that's me. Welcome to Barah Ministries, a Christian church. I rue the day when I wore red today, but welcome to Barah Ministries, a Christian church with worldwide impact. My name is Pastor Rory Clark, and at Barah Ministries, our God is the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15 accomplishes the near impossible feat of describing in a few words exactly what we celebrate at this time of the year. It's a time for us to say thanks be to God the Father for his indescribable gift. The indescribable gift is Jesus Christ. Today we feel tremendous gratitude toward God the Father for the voluntary sacrifice of his Son on behalf of angelic and human creatures. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, God the Father demonstrates his own unconditional love for all creatures, in that while we were yet sinners, while we were ungodly, unrighteous, unbelievers, Jesus Christ died instead of us. What an amazing thing for a father to give his son in sacrifice like that. Certainly, we celebrate Jesus Christ's birth at this time of the year, but we can't help also celebrating his death, his burial, his resurrection from the dead, that thing which proved that he is deity, his ascension into heaven, and his current status, seated victorious at the right hand of the Majesty, God the Father, on high, having accomplished the redemption for the whole human race, and waiting for that day when his enemies will be made a footstool for his feet. As Christians, we celebrate Jesus Christ every day in our hearts, for giving our lives purpose and direction and meaning, for giving his believers a clarity about this season, a knowledge that this season centers on receiving and not giving. We have all received from God the Father an indescribable gift, and his name is Jesus. And here's June Murphy to sing about him.
For most of my life, I felt like a woman of ill repute. For the things that I've done and what was done to me, I felt I was of no use. Like the woman alone looking for a drink, I'd been looking for love in all the wrong places, helpless, needy, and weak. But since I've come to know Jesus by faith and grace alone, I will proclaim this invitation to the world, to all I know, and I will sing, come see a man who knows all about me, who knows see a man who won't leave or forsake me. Jesus. In Christ there is therefore now no condemnation from the power of sin and death. I have been free. All the guilt and shame I carried from my past was nailed with Christ to the tree. And I know that everything that has happened to me has passed through the Father's hands. And He was faithful and just to allow it all as part of His master plan. And He is not ashamed of me. I am His child. He calls me His own. And I belong to my beloved Savior, and from Him I will never ever roam. And I'm telling you that I know a man who knows all about me, who knows what I've done and the love that I need. I know a man who won't leave or forsake me, who died on a cross to set me free. I know a man who gives life eternal, who's the bread of life, living water for your thirst. I know a man who gives new beginnings, who gives second chances, who gives
June. Welcome to the Christmas celebration, and the question I ask is, who is Jesus Christ to you? Who is Jesus Christ to you? The most important question you'll ever be asked in your lifetime is, who is Jesus Christ to you? It's a question that demands an answer. In Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 to 17, the Apostle Peter articulated the answer to this question in a very few words. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he was asking his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" The Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God, but he's also the Son of Man in one person forever. And what he was asking is who people think he is. Matthew 16, 14, and the disciples said, "Some say you're John the Baptist, and others say you're Elijah, but still others say you're Jeremiah or one of the prophets." These guesses are flattering, to be sure, but they are all incorrect. Then the Lord turns the focus to the real issue. Matthew 16, 15, Jesus said to the disciples, "But who do all of you say that I am?" Matthew 16, 16. Simon Peter answered for the group. He said, "You are the Christ, the Jewish Messiah, the Son of the living God." Peter was confused about many things. But he was not confused about this. He knew that he was speaking to deity. Jesus Christ is God. Matthew 16:17. And Jesus said to Peter, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jona." And Bar is an expression in Hebrew that means son of. So Simon Bar-Jona is Simon the son of Jonah. "Because flesh and blood, human beings, did not reveal this to you. But my Father who is in heaven revealed this to you." There's a day in the life of every creature, a day that reaches deeply into the soul of every creature, when God the Father makes it clear who Jesus Christ is. So today, I ask you to consider this question and to actually write your answer. Who is Jesus Christ to you? It's Jesus Christ that we celebrate at Christmas. It's Jesus Christ that we celebrate today. Here is a song from Ray Parker Jr., "Christmas Time Is Here."
Hang up the mistletoe and turn the lights down low. Let's feel the spirit, 'cause Christmas time is here. Sitting by the firelight, let's hold each other tight and feel the spirit, 'cause Christmas time is here. Can't you hear those jingle bells?
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for filling our hearts full of love today, a love that requires a target. And the target of our unconditional love, the one to whom we reflect your unconditional love, is Jesus Christ, your Son. And there are many universal things we can say about him. He is our Savior. He is our Creator. He is our Redeemer. He is the living God. He is everything to us. And his love for us fills us with so much joy and so much fullness that it can't be contained. Yet it's altogether fitting and proper that we should stop for a few moments amidst the hustle and bustle of the meaninglessness going on in Satan's kingdom right now, to recognize and to love the one who means so much to us for personal reasons as well. And as you remind us, Father, of the significance of what we celebrate and whom we celebrate at Christmas, let our hearts be filled with compassion and caring for those who struggle emotionally and financially during this season, for those who feel lonely and alone during this season. Remind them that Jesus Christ is with them, and let our faith in your Son lead others to a relationship with him that soothes their souls and guarantees them a spot in eternity face to face with you and with the other members of the Godhead. We ask this through the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Welcome to the Christmas celebration. Who is Jesus Christ to you? I'd like you to answer the question in your own soul with an answer that is not superficial, with an answer that is personal more than universal. Of course, we know Jesus died for our sins. Of course, we know Jesus is the human manifestation of the Son of God. But who is Jesus Christ to you personally? From my eyes, I see easily that Jesus Christ is God, the perfect God, the sovereign God of the universe. To me personally, he is my Lord and my God. He is the creator of all, and I thank God he created me. And he knows me better than I know myself. Also, he created perfect angelic creatures. Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 12 to 15 recount. Son of man, take up a lamentation over the king of Tyre and say to him, thus says the Lord God, you, Satan, had the seal of perfection. You were full of wisdom. You were perfect in beauty. Ezekiel 28:13. You were in the Garden of Eden. You were in Eden, the Garden of God, and every precious stone was your covering. The ruby, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the lapis lazuli, the turquoise and the emerald, and the gold. The workmanship of your settings and sockets was in you. On the day that you were created, they were prepared. Ezekiel 28:14. You were the anointed cherub who covers. You were the Lord's bodyguard. And I, the Lord, placed you there in that position. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked in the midst of the stones of fire. Satan, now the enemy of God, was the guardian of God's holiness, a member of the Lord's inner circle, a protector angel, with free access to God's person and his throne room, the most intimate of relationships. Ezekiel 28:15. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created until unrighteousness was found in you. He was perfect until he sinned. And of course, creatures always pervert perfection. Yet perfection is needed to have fellowship with a perfect God. To deal with creature imperfection, the sin of unrighteousness, the sin that created a breach between God and his creatures, the Godhead had a decision to make. So it's important when I ask you, who is Jesus Christ to you, that you answer the question in your own soul and with an answer that is not superficial. When I think of Jesus Christ, I see that a member of the Godhead, the Lord, God the Son, decided to repair the problem between a perfect God and his imperfect creatures once and for all time by taking on human form. John chapter 1, verse 14 says, and the Word, the Lord, became flesh, Jesus Christ, and lived among us. So we've got the Lord, 100% God. We've got Jesus Christ, 100% man, combined in one unique person forever. And he lived among us, and we beheld his manifest glory. We looked at him, and we saw God. The glory of the uniquely born one from the source of God the Father, full of grace and full of truth. Who is Jesus Christ to you? As I see it, Jesus Christ is the one who used his life to prove that even in the midst of all manner of temptations, there is no need to sin when we use divine power to handle the situations in our lives. He proved that perfect righteousness is possible, and he even gave us his perfect righteousness at the moment of salvation, a righteousness we cannot lose, to fix our relationship with God forever. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 says this, "We believers in Christ do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness. Instead, we have a high priest who has been tempted in all things just as we are tempted. In fact, even worse, with more tempting things, yet without sin." Here's a song, "God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen," Nat King Cole.
God rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. From God our Heavenly Father a blessed angel came, and unto certain shepherds brought tidings of the same, how that in Bethlehem was born the Son of God by name. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy.
Now to the Lord sing praises, all you within this place.
This holy tide of Christmas all others doth deface. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy.
Who is Jesus Christ to you? In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, the Apostle Paul says, "It is a trustworthy statement deserving of full acceptance." In other words, I'm not lying that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, among whom I, Paul, am the foremost sinner of all. Paul wants it to be clear who Jesus Christ is to him. Jesus Christ is the one who turned the greatest sinner of all time into the greatest saint of all time to demonstrate his awesome power and his multifaceted wisdom. 1 Timothy 1:16, "Yet because I, Paul, was the foremost of all sinners, I found mercy from God the Father, so that in me as the foremost sinner, Jesus Christ might demonstrate his perfect patience with sinners as an example for those who would believe in him for eternal life, the resurrection life." The Apostle Paul wants it to be clear that if Jesus Christ can save a sinner as despicable as him, then Jesus Christ can and is willing to save anyone. And Jesus does. We have a whosoever God. Whosoever can be saved. Who is Jesus Christ to you? Let's begin the next portion of our lesson by giving you a chance to make an offering. We need and we value your financial support to continue the work of this ministry. Please welcome up Deacon Denny Goodall with the offering message. I sneaked that one in on you, didn't I, Denny? I sneaked the offering in early, so. It's in the script. Everything's in the script. Looks like I was a genius not having you sing many songs today, huh? You sound like you swallowed a frog. Just saying. That's all right. By the way, you were outside coughing. You left some lung out there on the... No, wow, seriously, you should have seen it. It was horrible. All right, Deacon Denny, I have padded this as long as I possibly can. Are you ready? All right. Come on up. Welcome up Deacon Denny Goodall.
Good morning. Can you take it down just a touch? Second one in, June's. There you go. Check, check. Sounds good. Good morning. I'm Denny Goodall, and I'm proud to be a deacon for Bra Ministries, a worldwide Christian church where real people come to listen to a real pastor tell real truths. And I'm sure you're all sick of shopping by this point, and I fully understand now why Amazon has caught on so well. If you've been to a Walmart or a Target recently, it is straight up H-E double hockey sticks. From all the Christmas joy in the parking lot of fighting over spots and carts and packages or whatever's in there, and I totally understand now. And it's actually, after being at Walmart a couple times, it's kind of disgusting to see people just rushing in to buy whatever they can buy for anybody they have on their list. It's nothing really meaningful. It's just to check a box. I got you something. Here you have it. And they end up putting it in a closet or re-gifting it, and then nobody even uses it. And why do we waste the money? Why do we waste our money on these things like this? And it's funny because whose birthday really is it? The Lord Jesus Christ's birthday. And what gifts did we get for him? Probably nothing. Probably just a tree that we say is Santa when we talk to our kids about all these other things that have nothing to do with the season or the reason for the season. And I was looking in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. Do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasure in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So I think we should all take heart that Jesus Christ was born, and he's our best gift that we can ever have. On his birthday, he gave to us a relationship that we can have with him, a lifelong relationship, an eternal relationship. We can have a best friend. We can never be alone from then on. And it's such an amazing thing to have those benefits in our lives. And when we come to the offering, it's a chance for you to worship. It's a chance for you to give back. It's a chance for you to give treasure for the most meaningful thing in life, for this church to be able to give the gospel around the world, for others to have a relationship, for others to share in that gift that we all have. And it's truly an honor to be up here each week with Pastor Rory and to stand in front of you guys, because this is a room full of Christians. And it's an amazing thing because you've said yes to the most important question in your life. And I'm sure I would love to hear everybody's explanation of who Christ is to you personally, because it would be amazing to hear all the different perspectives on life, how he's been to you and how he's helped you and how he's, you know, basically your get-out-of-jail-free card for everybody in life. And I really want to thank Pastor for his consistent giving to this ministry, because without his guidance and him pushing forward each week, we might not be here today. And all of that is because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we truly thank you all. And I just wanted to add one note. Excuse me. We lost a couple dear friends to our family this weekend. And I just wanted you to keep them in your prayers. Jan Golick lost her husband, Brian Golick, who was a Marine. They were both Marines. And he was a dear friend of my dad. And we also lost, my stepmom lost her father. And he was a great guy, and they're great families. And so just please keep them in your hearts. And just remember that, like Pastor said, there are some people out there today that feel lonely, and they don't have families with them. So let's be their family, and let's reach out to those people that you know that might not have somebody. And I really thank you for this. So thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Deacon Denny. We'll definitely keep your friends in our prayers. Welcome to the Christmas celebration. Who is Jesus Christ to you? Who is Jesus Christ to you? To me, Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 37, using the Weiss translation, proves that Jesus Christ is the supernatural one. He is a God of supernatural possibilities. Luke chapter 1, verse 26 in the Weiss translation says, "Now in the sixth month of pregnancy, the pregnancy of Mary's relative Elizabeth, the angel Gabriel was sent on a mission from God the Father to a city of Galilee named Nazareth," Luke 1:27, "to a virgin promised in marriage to a man named Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary." Couples who were engaged at this time, who were described as promised to each other, were really already married, yet for the first year they were still living in their parents' homes. Luke 1:28. "And having come to her, Gabriel said, 'Keep on rejoicing, Mary, because you've been encompassed with favor, a grace gift from God the Father. The Lord is with you.'" The favor bestowed on Mary is absolutely no different than the favor bestowed on each of us as believers in Christ. In other words, Mary was not special. Each of us has been saved, and each of us has a job to do for the Lord, and with the Lord there is no partiality. Your life is just as significant as Mary's, and maybe you just don't know what that favored status is that you've been granted or how to use it yet. But Mary was no more favored than you. Luke 1:29. "But Mary was greatly agitated by reasons of the words said by Gabriel and began reasoning what sort of an exotic greeting this might be." This is why I like the Weiss translation, because it is the Greek through and through, and it's just funny how beautiful and how descriptive the Greek language is. "Mary was greatly agitated by reason of the words said by Gabriel and began reasoning what sort of an exotic greeting this might be. Luke 1:30. "And the angel said to her, 'Stop fearing, Mary, for you have a grace gift of favor in the presence of God.'" Again, just as all of us believers do. Luke 1:31, "And behold, you shall conceive in your womb, and you shall give birth to a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." Who is Jesus Christ to you? I see that Jesus Christ was given five things by his Father in return for his single sacrifice, that Jesus Christ would lay down his life for each and every one of us. So here is Gabriel's prediction about the five things that we'd see in our Messiah. Luke 1:32. "This one, Jesus Christ, shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Most High. God the Father, our Lord, shall give Jesus the throne of David, his father's, during Jesus' millennial reign." Luke 1:33. "Jesus shall reign as king over the house of Jacob," which is Israel, "forever, and his kingdom shall have no end." Now we know why Israel and the Jewish race will never be destroyed. It's more than just the fact that the Lord made five promises to Abraham. It's that the Lord is not going to allow a kingdom that he'll be running to be destroyed by his enemy, nor will he allow the people he loves to be destroyed, a race that he is part of. Luke 1:34, "But Mary said to the angel, 'How shall this be possible, since I have not had sexual intercourse with a man?' Luke 1:35, "The angel answering said to Mary, 'The Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and the power of the Most High shall overshadow you. Wherefore also the Holy One, which is being conceived, shall be called the Son of God.'" Luke 1:36, "And behold, Elizabeth, your relative, also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month of pregnancy for her who was called sterile," or barren. Luke 1:37, "For in the presence of God no thing shall be impossible." Luke 1:38, "And Mary said, 'Behold the bond slave of the Lord. Behold the person who is in 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week service to the Lord, the bond slave of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." Jesus Christ shows up everywhere in the world, and in the scientific world, the non-spiritual world, there is a name for the phenomenon that's being described in this passage. It's called parthenogenesis. It's the development of an egg without fertilization by a male. If I had known Mary personally back in the day, I would have asked her, "Mary, who is Jesus Christ to you?" And I wonder what she would have said. Here's a song that might tell us a few of the things that she might have pondered in her heart. Mary, did you know? Welcome to the Christmas celebration. Who is Jesus Christ to you? When I look at the Lord Jesus Christ, I see the uniquely born one. Let's hear about the birth of the Savior from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. when his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph and before they had sexual intercourse. She was found to be with child by the agency of God the Holy Spirit, Matthew 1:19. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man, which means a believer in Christ, and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to divorce her secretly. As Joseph saw it, Mary had sex with a man that was not her husband, thus defiling the marriage just as it was beginning. And he was going to divorce her, but he wanted to do it secretly because she would have been stoned to death. Matthew 1:20. But when Joseph had considered this secret divorce while pondering the dilemma he was in, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, and that was reminding him that he is nobility from the lineage of a king. Do not be afraid, because it's not a problem to take Mary as your wife. For the child who has been conceived in her is from the source of God the Holy Spirit. Matthew 1:21. Mary will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he and no other, according to Acts 4:12, will save his people from their sins. Matthew 1:22. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet in Isaiah 7:14, Matthew 1:23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and Joseph shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. Matthew 1:24. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary as his wife. Matthew 1:25. But he kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and Joseph called his son's name Jesus. And I was recounting as that song was playing a conversation that I had with a Muslim friend of mine. And he kept saying to me, Jesus Christ is not God. He kept saying to me that nowhere in the Bible does it say that Jesus Christ is God. And I spent 3 hours showing him over 100 places in the Bible where it says that Jesus Christ is God. And it just gets me ill to know that such a good man as him is going to spend an eternity in the lake of fire for missing this one simple point. Just one simple thing. And that 3-hour conversation of ours is going to be playing on an endless loop in his conscience for all eternity. Well, we call the birthday of Jesus Christmas, and we call it because it is a combination of two words, Christ and Messiah. So Christmas is in honor of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And it was predicted that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, would be born in Bethlehem, a word that means the bread of life. And Jesus described himself that way in John chapter 6, verse 48. He said, I, the Lord Jesus Christ, am the bread of life. So Bethlehem means the bread of life. And every year, the unbelieving world wonders about this person, Jesus Christ. I wonder for them, who is Jesus Christ to you? The name Christmas tells us that he is Messiah. His birthplace, Bethlehem, tells us that he is the bread of life. Here's a song by Josh Groban. What child is this?
What child is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet while shepherds watch our keeping? So bring him incense, gold, come as a king to own him, the King of Kings salvation brings. Let loving hearts enthrone him. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds, God, and angels sing.
called the babe, the son of Mary. Oh, raise, raise a song on high, his mother sings her lullaby. Joy, oh joy, for Christ is born, the babe, the son of Mary. This, this is Christ the King, who shepherds God and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him blood, the babe, the son. Child is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap, on Mary's lap. He is sleeping. This, this is Christ the King, who shepherds God and angels.
Something interesting about myself this week. All during the week, there is this tremendous buildup of love inside of me, and it seeks a target. And every week, I get a chance to express that love here. Get a chance to, and then go to the couch, and start the process. And then go to the couch and start the process all over again. That's really fun. I remember when I was a kid, my older brother had anger issues, and he used to like to bounce my head on the living room floor on a regular basis. And I remember when he would do that, I would just get up and hug him, and then I would run upstairs. And I've always had that feeling of wanting to express love. And I know that that came from Christ. That's who this Jesus Christ is to me. Who is Jesus Christ to you? Luke chapter 2, verse 1 says this: Now in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. Luke 2, 2. And this was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. Luke 2, 3. And everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Luke 2, 4, and Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house and family of David. Luke 2, 5, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was pregnant with a child. Luke 2, 6, and while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. Luke 2, 7, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. That may not mean much to you, but to all cultures throughout the world, the firstborn son is the king of sons. And she wrapped him in cloths, sparangana, the the cloths used to wrap a mangled corpse. He was identified with his death from his birth and laid him in a manger, a feeding trough for cows, because there was no room for them at the inn. Luke 2:8. And in the same region there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. Shepherds are very protective of the flock and wouldn't, under any circumstance, consider leaving the flock. Luke 2:9, and an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before him, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. It was midnight, but it was as bright as day. And they were terribly frightened. Luke 2:10, but the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people." Luke 2:11, "For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is the Christ, the Lord." Luke 2:12, "And this will be the sign for you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Luke 2:13, "And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased.' And God the Father is pleased with all those who believe in his Son." Luke 2:15. "And when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, 'Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.'" They left the sheep to go straight to Bethlehem. Luke 2:16. "And so they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger." Luke 2:17, "And when they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told to them about this child." Luke 2:18, "And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told to them by the shepherds." Luke 2:19, "But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart." Luke 2:20, "And the shepherds went back glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as had been told to them." Here's a song by Bing Crosby, "Do You Hear What I Hear?"
Said the night wind to the little lamb, "Do you see what I see?
Do you see what I see?
Way up in the sky, little lamb. Do you see what I see?
Do you see what I see?
A star, dancing in the night, with a tail as big as a kite, with a tail as big as a kite." Said the little lamb to the shepherd boy, "Do you hear what I hear? Ringing through the sky, shepherd boy. Do you hear what I hear?
Do you hear what I hear?
A song, high above the tree, with a voice as big as the sea, with a voice as big as the sea." Said the shepherd boy to the mighty king, "Do you know what I know? In your palace warm, mighty king, do you know what I know? A child, shivers in the cold. Let us bring him silver and gold. Let us bring him silver and gold." Said the king to the people everywhere, "Listen to what I say. Pray for peace, people everywhere. Listen to what I say.
Goodness and life.
Let's take a music break as we listen to the Christmas song from Nat King Cole, and then we'll have a final few words about Jesus Christ.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose, Yuletide carols being sung by a choir, and folks dressed up like Eskimos. Everybody knows a turkey and some mistletoe help to make the season bright. Tiny tots with their eyes all aglow will find it hard to sleep tonight. They know that Santa's on his way. He's loaded lots of toys and goodies on his sleigh. And every mother's child is gonna spy to see if reindeer really know how to fly. And so I'm offering this simple phrase to kids from 1 to 92. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas to you. It's from 1 to 92. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas to you.
Welcome to the Christmas celebration. Who is Jesus Christ to you? He is a being so powerful that he inspires hatred in many who hear his name, even to this very day. He has an enemy who incites this hatred in the souls of creatures. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12 say this, and I really want you as you listen to this to just picture this actually happening, because it did. Just what would it be like if you went home today and you heard this on the news? Really picture this. Why would anybody do this over a baby? You see, it's why what makes me laugh so much about people thinking that Jesus Christ is not God. How could you think that somebody would make up a story like this one that you're about to hear? Think about this. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. So now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, Magi, those are astronomers, from the east arrived in Jerusalem saying, Matthew 2, 2, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. They knew that he was the king of the Jews because the Old Testament scriptures predicted that the Messiah would come, predicted where he would be born. God is not mysterious. He's always crystal clear. and even unbelievers understand him. My friends in China are celebrating Christmas right now. And they know who Christ is. They don't believe in him, most of them. They know who he is, and they know what Christmas is. Matthew 2:3, and when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled. Why? Because he was the king, and he didn't want any other kings around. And all Jerusalem was troubled with him. Whenever the king gets troubled, everybody gets troubled. Matthew 2:4, and gathering together all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, Herod inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. Did they know? Matthew 2:5, the chief priests and the scribes said to him, "The Messiah is to be born in Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what has been written by the prophet." They knew. Matthew 2:6 was what has been written by the prophet, "And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Matthew 2:7, then Herod secretly called the Magi and determined from them the exact time the star appeared. Matthew 2:8, and Herod sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child, and when you have found him, report to me so that I too may come and worship him." Matthew 2:9, and after hearing the king, the Magi went their way, and the star which they had seen in the east went on before them until it came and stood over the place where the child Jesus Christ was. Matthew 2:10, and when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly and with great joy. Matthew 2:11, and after coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshipped him. And then opening their treasures, they presented him with gifts fit for a king. They presented him with gold for his deity. They presented him with frankincense for his life. And they presented him with myrrh for his humanity, a fragrance identifying him with his death. Matthew 2:12, and having been warned by God the Father in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way. And because of God's enemy, the birth of Christ brought with it a negative impact. Matthew 2:16-18 say this, and when Herod saw that he had been tricked by the Magi, he became very enraged, and he sent and slew all the male children who are in Bethlehem and all its vicinity, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the Magi. Matthew 2:17, then what had been spoken through Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled. Matthew 2:18, a voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and she refused to be comforted because her children were no more. Can you imagine that, Deacon Denny? Somebody coming to your house and taking your kids and slaying them? And that's exactly what happened over this human being who wasn't really God. Yeah, I don't think so. Well, we celebrate that night when that child was born. Here is Nat King Cole to sing, "O Holy Night."
O holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, voices, oh,
night, divine, oh night, when Christ was born. Oh night, divine.
Christmas celebration. Who is Jesus Christ to you? Who is Jesus Christ to me? He's everything to us. All the things we think of from a universal point of view. He's our Savior. He's our Creator. He's our Redeemer. He's our God. He is the living God. And He paid for the sins of the whole world. Of these things we're sure. But Jesus Christ means so much more to me than these things. Who is Jesus Christ to you? To me, Jesus Christ is the still point of this turning world. He is the centerpiece of my life. He is someone who will never fail me or forsake me. He is someone who will never betray me. He is someone that I can count on completely. With Him, I am never alone, even when I feel alone. I'm married to Him. I have a relationship with Him, an involvement, a connection, a kinship, a dependence, an emotional and mutual relationship. My relationship with Jesus Christ is deep, a relationship that extends far beneath the surface, a relationship unlike any other relationship in my life. My relationship with Jesus Christ is intimate. It is close, it is warm, it's private, it's exclusive, it's cozy, and it's sexual. He is a confidant. My relationship with Jesus Christ is personal. It is intentional, it's one-on-one, it's beautiful, it's so fulfilling, and He fills me up in a way that no one else can. I think back to the start of my relationship with Jesus Christ 54 years ago, when my journey into this relationship began. And comparing it to the relationship I have with Him now, I am in awe at the difference. I think of the many times I have thought about human relationships gone bad in my life. But I have never once, until this writing, thought about the true and irrevocable fact that I have a 54-year marriage going with Jesus Christ, a marriage to the most important person in the universe. And it is a marriage that is going to last forever. So when I think about human relationships that didn't make it to the finish line, they are nothing compared to the glorious relationship I have with Jesus Christ, a relationship that cannot break, a relationship where I am not judged or condemned or manipulated, a relationship that is not at all confused or confusing. I am proud that my God has allowed me this meager attempt to put into words and to capture in a short time a relationship that is so deeply inspirational and so deeply meaningful to me. Romans chapter 1, verse 20 says this: since the creation of the world, the Lord's invisible attributes, His eternal power and His divinity, His divine nature, keep on being clearly seen by everyone, being understood even through what has been made, as reflected in the things of nature, so that all mankind are without excuse in the matter of knowing of the existence of the Lord. John chapter 3, verse 17 says, "For God the Father did not send God the Son, the Lord, into the world to judge the world, but instead that the world might be saved through believing in him." Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says this, "And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given to mankind by which we must be saved, except the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." Who is Jesus Christ to you? You see, right where you sit right now, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you don't really have to jump through any hoops to have a relationship with him. All you have to do is have a conversation with God the Father at a single moment in time and say, "Father, I believe in Christ," and that's the moment of eternal life for you. It's so simple. God's enemy wants to complicate it. Religion wants to complicate it. But just in a moment in time and thought only, you can say to God the Father that you believe in Christ and you can have a relationship that keeps you alive forever. The soul once born never dies, but you get to choose where it spends eternity. In John chapter 10, verses 27 and 28, Jesus Christ says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I, the Lord Jesus Christ, know them, and they follow me." John 10, 28, "And I give eternal life to believers in Christ, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." Once you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you cannot lose it. There's nothing you can do to lose it, and there's nothing anyone could do to ever take it away from you. You're placed into a marriage with Christ at that moment, and that's a marriage that never ends. John chapter 1, verse 12 says this, "Whoever receives Jesus Christ, to them the Lord gave the right to become children of God the Father, even to those who believe in Christ's name." Therefore, Acts 16:31, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and everyone in your household who also believes." John 3:36, "He who believes in the Son has eternal life," right at that moment. "But he who does not obey the command to believe in the Son will not see the resurrection life. Instead, the wrath of God, the lake of fire, abides on him." The closing song, "Joy to the World."
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing.
Joy to the world.
While field and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love.
So thank you very much for coming today and for sitting, and I hope that these words from the Lord and from God the Holy Spirit didn't just wash over you, but they got deeply into you. And that they help you realize how special this thing is you do every time you come here. Thank you for being the target of my love. And thank you for receiving it and for letting it soak into you. I asked many of you, you know, the Broad Ministries is a nosy congregation. So many of you ask me, "What are you going to be teaching about on Sunday, Pastor?" And I say, "Christmas. It's Christmas." "Yeah, but what about Christmas?" And I say, "Well, I'm going to be asking the question, who is Jesus Christ to you? And I heard a lot of you say who Jesus Christ is to you, and quite frankly, I was proud. I was proud of what you're taking from what is being given from this pulpit by God the Holy Spirit. And I can assure you that as we get older, the feelings that you have for Jesus Christ will only get deeper. And the noises that you hear from the Word of God will only get louder. And I don't know about you, but I look forward to that moment in hospice where I know that I'm 2 to 5 minutes from meeting the Lord. And I hope none of you are there to see that, quite frankly. I don't want you to see that. But it would be my preference that we all died at the same time, actually. So maybe I can arrange that. Maybe we can do a... Maybe there's some juice. Yeah, juice box. Juice box for everybody. The spaceship is coming. But I'm looking forward to the day when I actually meet face to face this person that I have loved for my entire life. Let's close in prayer. Almighty Father, thank you for letting us stop to worship your Son. And thank you for providing us with such a meaningful person for our benefit. Help us to be like he is in relationships to those in our lives with whom we have relationships. Help us to fix our eyes on Jesus Christ as the model for every thought and every action for all time. And we ask this through the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. 1 Timothy 1:17 says, "Now to the King of kings and Lord of lords, the Lord Jesus Christ, to the eternal, immortal, invisible one, to the one and only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." Merry Christmas to all. Thanks for coming, thanks for watching, and thanks for listening.